Tomorrow, the United Arab Emirates will be celebrating another year of the spirit of the Union. 53 years ago, the late great Sheikh Zayed bin Sultan Al Nahyan, the founder president of the UAE, called for the unification of the seven emirates into one. According to the late founding president, and I quote yung isa sa mga sinulat niya, "One experiment in federalism, in the first instance, arose from a desire to increase the ties that binds us, as well from the convictions of everyone that they were part of one family and that they must gather under one leadership." Kung ulit-ulitin niyo po basahin yung sinulat niyo ngayon, mararamdaman po natin ang longing niya dito sa sulat na ito. Longing to see the people united. Longing for them to be one family. And through his initiative and leadership, the UAE from former individual emirates are now one. They now have one flag, one nation, one dream, one people. You know, there is another longing, a much greater longing than the founding presidents. Itong longing na to ay nasa puso ng lahat ng mga tao. Whether they admit it or not, itong longing na to is a longing to be united, a longing to be reunited, to be reconciled to their Creator God, a deep longing to be made right with God, a longing to be with God's people. But how can one be made right with a holy and righteous God? Ito po ang pag-uusapan natin ngayong umaga. Tayo po ay nagpapatuloy sa ating sermon series sa Book of Romans, the Gospel of the Righteousness of God. Last week, pagkatapos ng mahabang defense argument ni Paul sa kanyang imaginary Jewish adversary, iniwan niya ang kanyang mga mambabasa at tayo sa realidad ng kasalanan. Ramdam na ramdam natin ang katotohanan ng kasalanan sa ating buhay. Na ang lahat ng Jews at Gentiles, which we are considered Gentiles sa paningin ni Paul dito, are unrighteous sa harapan ng banal na Diyos. At tayo ay haharap sa isang dreadful reality that one day God will demonstrate His faithfulness through the just judgment of guilty sinners. Kailangan gawin ng Panginoon ito. At gagawin ng Panginoon ito because God is holy. God is righteous and He cannot act inconsistently sa kanyang nature. Yet, sa passage natin ngayong umaga, Paul now switches from dreadful warnings to celebrating dahil sa realidad that man can be made right with God. It is possible that God justifies the ungodly, that He has made a way for sinners to be reconciled with Him. Ang passage natin ngayong umaga, particularly sa chapter 3, verse 21 hanggang 26, ay napakahalaga upang maunawaan po natin how can man make it right with God. According sa mga scholars sa panahon natin at nang noon, kagaya ni Tom Schreiner, ang verses 21 to 26 daw, maybe the most important verses in the book of Romans. According naman kay Martin Luther, the chief point in the very central place of the epistle and of the whole Bible. according naman kay Leon Morris, isang New Testament scholar sa panahon natin, possibly the most important single paragraph ever written. Ganto kabigat yung mga verses na ito. Last week, nakita natin kung paano dinemonstrate ni Paul ang failure ng mga Jews to obey the law and how God's judgment over sin is a sign of His faithfulness. God judging sin is a sign of His faithfulness. So ang question natin ngayong umaga is this, how does one make it right with God? How does one make it right with God? This is my prayer for us this morning, is as we study this passage, is that our faith in Christ would be informed, which would cause us to have hearts that are grateful dahil sa superior sacrifice na si Jesus Christ who offered it once for all on behalf of His people. May we hold on to this truth with much joy that would cause us to be humbly grateful and to increasingly live our lives to please and honor our Savior for His glory. Again, how can one be made right with God? Ito pong sagot. One is made right with God solely through faith in Jesus Christ. One is made right with God solely through faith in Jesus Christ. We have divided these chapters into two. Number one, made right with God explained. Chapter 3, verses 21 to 31. And number two, made right with God exemplified. Chapter 4, verses 1 to 25. Number one, made right with God explained. Chapter 3 ng Romans, verse 21. But now the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law, although the law and the prophets bear witness to it. Sinimula ni Paul yung section na ito sa words, but now. Ito ay di lamang isang literary transition, kundi isa ding historical one. Gaya ng inaral natin last week sa verse 10 and chapter 3, none is righteous, no, not one. Walang matuwid ni isa. We desperately need righteousness. Pero ang problema, we do not possess a righteousness that makes us right with God. Wala tayong righteousness. Yun ang problema natin. That's why God has revealed a way to restore us, sinners, to a right relationship to God, with God. And this is completely different from obeying the requirements of the law. Dahil wala ni isa ang kayang tumupad ng law na ito. Kung nakabase ang kaligtasan ng isang tao sa pagsunod ng salitan, lahat ng commands ng Panginoon, then lahat ay pupunta ng impyerno. All will be judged. So we praise God dito sa chapter 3, sa section na ito. There is a way. There is a way na hindi katulad na tinuturo na kailangan sundin yung law. That's why God has revealed a way to restore us. Itong righteousness ay galing sa Diyos and is revealed, pinakita, in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul is saying, hindi ho bagong mensahe ito. Dahil sa Old Testament, tinuro na ito, pinraphesy na ito, it points to the coming Redeemer who will cleanse His people from their sins. Sabi sa Zechariah chapter 13, verse 1, on that day, there shall be a fountain open for the house of David and the inhabitants of Jerusalem to cleanse them from sin and uncleanliness. At ito mismo ang ginawa ng Panginoon sa verse 22. The righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. Ang sinasabi po ng verse 22 ay anyone who places their faith, their trust in Jesus will be made right with God. Pero believe exactly, Pastor, about what? Kay Jesus Christ. Ano ang dapat ang paniwalaan namin sa Panginoon na ito? Well, that He is God. He is God who became flesh, lived a perfectly righteous life that none of us could, and died the death that we deserve, and was raised to life for our justification, ascended into heaven, seated at the right hand of God the Father, interceding for us, and one day this Redeemer, this Messiah, will return for His people. So anyone who places their faith, their trust in the person and work of Christ will be made right with God. Excuse me. To justify someone means to vindicate them, not punish them. Justification is where a holy and righteous God declares guilty sinners righteous. You are righteous. It is a declaration of righteousness given not to righteous individuals, but to wicked individuals. You are made right with God, not because of what you have done, but because of what God has done for you. Justification is not us becoming righteous. It is us being declared righteous legally. Ito isang law court terminology where God, the just judge, counts us as righteous, even though we are still sinners. At papaano nangyari ito? Were God the judge counts us as righteous, let me back up, excuse me, kung tayo lahat na makasalanan ay walang kakayanan na itama ang relasyon natin sa isang banal na Diyos, paano niya gagawin yun? Ang sagot po dito is, by grace. It is by grace. Verse 22 hanggang 24. For there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and are justified by His grace as a gift. Friends, grace means God giving us what we don't deserve. You don't deserve this, but I'll still give it to you. It is undeserved favor from God or unmerited favor. There is nothing we can do but to accept this incredible gift na binibigay, ino-offer sa atin ng Panginoon. Now we know that salvation is purely by grace. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 to 9. For by grace you have been saved through faith. This is not of your own doing. It is the gift of God so that you won't boast. So that I won't boast. So, salvation is by grace. Sabi ni Jonathan Edwards, the redeemed have all from the grace of God. It was of mere grace that God gave us His only begotten Son. The grace is great in proportion to the excellency of what is given. The gift was infinitely precious because it was of a person infinitely worthy, a person of infinite glory, and also because it was of a person infinitely near and dear to God. Justification is initiated, accomplished, and completed by God's grace. Salvation is by grace alone. Sola gratia. Friends, this is wonderful news. Isipin niyo kung ang ating kaligtasan ay nakabatay sa kung ano ang magagawa nating kabutihan, then lagi tayo mangangamba. Lagi tayo walang kapayapaan tuwing gabi. At wala tayong seguridad na kapag tayo namatay, inabot ako ng heart attack dito. Magbigla akong binangungot at hindi na ako nagising. Saan ako pupunta? Kung nakasalalay, kung ang batayan ng ating kaligtasan ay tayo, lagi tayo ganon tuwing gabi. Kasi we know at the end of the day, kahit anumang kagandahang loob ang ginawa mo, at the end of the day, you still know that you don't measure up. Ngunit dahil ang kaligtasan ay biyaya lamang ng Diyos, we can confidently rejoice in the assurance that we are the Lord's. There's this confidence na nagmumula sa Panginoon sa atin. Gaya ng kinanta natin kanina. Hindi ko gagawin. When He comes, our glorious King, all His ransom home to bring, then anew this song will sing, hallelujah, hallelujah. Savior, You showed Your love, defeated our sin, poured out Your blood. So we praise You, Lamb that was slain. We offer our lives to proclaim, what a Savior. Di ba parang nakakadagdag ng kumpiyansa knowing that your sins have been paid in full? Not by you, but by God. Purihin ang Panginoon for His free gift of salvation. We are justified by faith. Pero, if God freely justifies sinners by grace, what grounds could He have to declare them righteous? May sarili akong diatribe dito. Anong grounds ng Panginoon to declare ang isang makasalanan na righteous? Ang sagot, God was able to justify sinners, guilty sinners, by the divine act of redemption, which involves sacrifice. Verse 24. And are justified by His grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Kung ang justification ay isang law court terminology, ang redemption naman po ay marketplace terminology. Ayon sa New Testament scholar na si Morris, ang pinanggalingan daw ng larawan ng redemption ay ang pag-release ng mga prisoners of war kapalit sa pagbayad ng malaking halaga. Ayon naman sa Old Testament, specifically sa Exodus, ang larawan daw ng redemption ay ang kanilang kalayaan sa Egypt sa pamamagitan ng blood ng Passover lamb. Sa mga Hebreo, maaari rin gamitin ang redemption para sa pagpapalaya ng isang prisoner under death sentence. Sa Greco-Roman world, ang redemption always relates to freedom from slavery. Upang ang isang alipin ay mapalaya, may halaga na kailangan bayaran. In short, kailangan silang i-redeem para palayain sa pagkakaalipin. Marami pa pong imagery ang Bible pagdating po sa redemption. Pero ang idea po ay halos similar lahat. At ano po yung idea? Freedom after the payment of price. Freedom after the payment of a price. Similarly, ito po ang pagkakalarawan ng mga tao na walang relasyon sa Diyos. Mga alipin. Alipin sa kasalanan. Mga kaibigan, kung nandito ka ngayon umaga at ang sinasabi mo na nahihirapan ka na magbago, ginawa mo na ang lahat-lahat, pero ganun pa din, Pastor. Lahat na, gumastos na ako, hiniwalay ko na yung sarili ko, pero bakit ganun pa rin ako, nahihirapan ako kumawala? Ang masakit pa ho dito, nai-enjoy ko ang kasalanan. Parang akong inaalipin, Pastor. Kung ikaw ito kaibigan, at yun ang sinasabi mo, marahil tama ka. Marahil ikaw ay alipin sa kasalanan, at ito ang iyong tunay na master. 1 John chapter 3, verse 9. Pero Pastor, hindi naman ako ganun kasama. Ang bigat mo naman magbitaw. Hindi naman siguro. 1 John chapter 3, verse 9. If you're trying to gauge yourself sa oras na ito by listening, am I a Christian or not? Am I a Christian? Hindi naman ako kasama. May totoo na sinabi si Pastor, medyo na ganyan. Pero ano ba talaga? Christian ba talaga ako? Then here's 1 John 3, 9. No one born of God makes a practice of sinning. For God's seed abides in him, and he cannot keep on sinning because he has been born of God. Kung meron pong unrepentant sin sa buhay natin, and you find no convictions or guilt or sadness, sorrow sa kasalanan na ito, then you need to ask yourself, ako ba'y tunay na isang Kristiyano? Lahat ng tao apart from Christ ay alipin ng kasalanan at ang kabayaran ng kasalanan, Romans 6:23, ay kamatayan, magpawalang hanggan. We need Christ's redemption. Jesus on the cross redeemed us by paying the price for our sins. Ito yung sinasabi niya sa verse 24. Alam niyo, sa Greco-Roman world, once a slave has been redeemed, the buyer not only receive yung slave, yung person, but also kasama sa binayaran niya is yung allegiance na nilipat na ngayon sa iyo. Dati siyang may master, may allegiance siya sa master na yun. Kapag binili mo ito, niredeem mo yung alipin na ito, hindi lamang yung tao, ang package deal dito, pati yung allegiance niya mapupunta sa iyo. Mga kapatid sa Panginoon, nawa ang katotohanang na ipinalaya ka ng Panginoon sa kadena ng pagkakaalipin ng master ng mundong ito at ng kasalanan would cause you to rejoice in your Redeemer. Kung discouraged ka, kapatid sa Panginoon, remember you have been redeemed from sin's slavery. In redemption, you now come under new ownership. Kapag ikaw ay tunay na Kristiyano, iba na rin ang allegiance natin. Iba na kasi ang master natin. Your allegiance now ay hindi na yung mga makalaman na kagustuhan natin o yung mga bagay sa mundo na ito. Your allegiance now is in your new master, which is Jesus Christ. Jesus now is your master. And if Jesus now is your master, dapat nakikita sa buhay natin kung kanino talaga yung allegiance natin. Hindi lang kada Sunday. Hindi lang kada fellowship and Bible study sa ating pamumuhay. Masasabi ba ng iyong kaopisina na kung kanino yung allegiance mo talaga sa kung paano ka magtrabaho? Would your classmates tell me or any one of us, you know what, this person who claims to be a Christian, I can tell their allegiance is in Christ. Is that what they're going to tell us? In redemption, you are under new ownership. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 to 20. You are not your own. Ito ang kailangan natin maintindihan, mga kapatid sa Panginoon. Nung tayo niligtas ng Panginoon, you're not your own anymore. Sabi just sa 1 Corinthians 6, you were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body, whom God put forward as a propitiation by His blood to be received by faith. This was to show God's righteousness because in His divine forbearance, He had passed over sins. Sorry, that's Romans. How did Christ, yes, Christ redeemed us, therefore He is now our new master. Malinaw po yan, Pastor. But, here's another question. Again, yung diatribe ko. How exactly did God acquire us? Verse 25. Whom God put forward as a propitiation by His blood, to be received by faith. This was to show God's righteousness, because in His divine forbearance, He had passed over former sins. How did Christ acquire us? Through Christ's propitiation, sacrifice. To propitiate someone means to turn away the person's wrath or anger. Para matanggal ang galit. And I'm translating this roughly. Propitiation does not focus primarily on sin. It does not primarily focus on sin, but rather on the person who has been sinned against. Does that make sense? In short, you don't propitiate sin. You propitiate the person who is offended and angered by your sin. So, it is God who needs to be propitiated, to appease. Since God is holy, He is offended and angered by sinners. That's us, apart from Christ. God created us in His image, and we are to image His character to display His glory. But we failed, diba? 3:23. For all have sinned and fall short of His or the glory of God. Kaya tuwing tayo ay nagkakasala, ang reputasyon ng Diyos ang nakataya, kasi we are image bearers. So propitiation is appeasing or satisfying the righteous wrath ng Panginoon. Sa pagan religion, o yung mga tao na sumasamba sa mga Diyos-Diyosan, kapag napansin nila ang kanilang pananim ay hindi maganda, maaring na peste o wala masyadong bunga o binaha ng ulan, ang ginagawa nila noon ay napapasok sa isip nila is marahil hindi masaya ang kanilang Diyos-Diyosan sa kanila. Marahil galit ang Diyos-Diyosan namin sa kanila. So, ano ang kailangan nilang gawin? They need to propitiate. Kailangan nilang i-appease yung galit ng kanilang Diyos-Diyosan. And ang gagawin nila is they will provide a propitiation. Sila mismo magdadala. Magdadala sila siguro ng isang unwilling victim na maaaring nagpapapadyak, pinipilit. I think you have seen this sa movie, maaaring dadalhin sa mismong edge ng bundang bulkan, ihahagis para hindi magalit ang Diyos-Diyosan, o kaya naman itutulak sa dagat, sa bangin, o susunugin para lang ma-appease yung galit ng kanilang Diyos. Yun po yung ginagawa ng mga pagan religions. While sa Christianity, in order to appease God's righteous anger, God Himself provided the propitiation. Hindi tao. Siya ang nag-provide. It was God Himself in the person of His Son, Jesus. Kasi ito lang ang tanging sacrifice na pwedeng mag-appease sa righteous wrath ng Diyos. Kung sa mga Diyos-Diyosan, sa mga pagan religion, kami magpo-provide and we'll just provide anything na sa tingin namin maapis ang galit ng Diyos, hindi pwede yan kay Yahweh. Walang sacrifice ang sapat that would appease His anger. It was God Himself in the person of His Son. He chose, He sent His Son to appease His righteous anger. Bakit, Pastor? Dahil ba walang choice ang Diyos? Dahil ba napilitan ng Diyos Dahil ba nagkakakawagan ang Diyos? Dahil wala na ibang mapili? You know motivation? Love. Love is the motivation. 1 John 4:10. In this is love. Not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. The only person that can appease the righteous wrath of God is the Son, and He did that out of His love sa yung sinners. Sinners like you and me. Friends, it is God's love that found the way for us to be made right with Him. That should encourage us that this is a personal God. Although we offend Him personally by our sins, but He also personally made a way to make it right with Him. And Jesus, unlike the unwilling victim ng pagan religion, hindi siya unwilling victim. Una, hindi siya victim. He was willing to lay down His life. So kung hindi siya nagkakakawag, hindi yung parang kinakaladkad, hindi parang napipilitan, then ano ang nararamdaman ni Jesus dito, Pastor? He was willing to lay down His life at yung puso niya is filled with joy doing that. Hebrews 12:2. For the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. This is the kind of God who died for you. Loves you. Gave His life with joy for you. For the glory of God. Christ's substitutionary atonement, which is His death on the cross in sinner's place, not only has set God's people free from sin slavery and penalty, which is death, but He also averted the Father's wrath na dapat sa atin by diverting it unto Himself. He was the sacrifice of atonement, reconciling sinners to God. Friends, this is how we obtain redemption, through Christ's sacrificial death on the cross. So ano ang sinasabi sa atin ito? That salvation is found in no one else except kay Jesus Christ. Salvation indeed is in Christ alone. Solus Christus. Pero mga kaibigan, lahat ng mga accomplishment ng salvation na ito in Christ is worthless. Worthless sa iyo if you do not receive or believe itong gift ng salvation na ito. At paulit-ulit nabanggit ito sa passage natin, Romans 3:22, the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe, verse 25, whom God put forward as a propitiation by His blood to be received by faith, verse 26, so that He might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Believe, trust, receive. Pare-pareho lang po sinasabi yun. This is grace, a gift. Now, gusto ko lang po linawin, your faith does not save you. Kasi hindi basihan kung malakas ang faith ko o hindi. Faith does not save anyone. God is the one who saves through Jesus Christ. Faith is the means that God uses to bring us to the saving benefits of Christ. Kaya hindi tayo pwede magmalaki. Ano? Malakas kasi ang faith ko, Pastor. Kasi mahina ang faith mo, kaya wala. Eh, wala kang blessing, prosperity pa. Diba? So hindi po yun. It is not just knowing who Christ is and what He has done. Anyone can know that.
It is more than an intellectual exercise. It is believing Him, receiving Him, trusting Him, an embracing of Him for who He is and what He has done. Pinaliwanag ito ni Jesus sa John 6:35. Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not grow hungry, shall not hunger. And whoever believes in me shall never thirst." Ang sinasabi ni Jesus dito ay, He alone can nourish His people's spiritual longings. And those who trust Him, He satisfies the deep longings of their souls. Friends, come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. How? Like spiritual beggars. Nothing in your hands. Empty hands. Empty hands. Humble hearts. Longing for your souls to be satisfied by the bread of life Himself. Renouncing everything else. And He will save you. At ang hina-highlight ni Paul sa Romans is that this faith is freely available, hindi lamang sa mga Jews, kundi sa Gentiles. That's one way of him saying this salvation is by grace sa lahat who believes. Kaya mga kaibigan, this is a reminder sa atin na kapag tayo ay nagsishare ng gospel, hindi lang dapat po sa mga Pinoy tayo nagsishare ng gospel. Di ba? Dapat sa mga iba't ibang lahi rin. Hindi, and aside from that, you don't want to just show Christianity sa mga kapwa Pinoy lang. So mabait ka lang sa mga kapwa Pinoy, pero sa ibang lahi, ay dito, alika. Huwag ka na pumila, dito ka na lang sa akin. Nag-cut pa sa kantin. Friends, we should be sharing the gospel hindi lang sa mga Pinoy. Nilagay tayo dito, yes, puro tayo Pinoy. Pero God has strategically placed you in offices, in campuses, where the nations are. And who do you think ang gospel bearer sa office and school ninyo? Who are the gospel bearers sa bahay ninyo habang buhat-buhat nyo yung mga anak ninyo? It's you. It's you. Wag tayo mag-time choosy. Kung sino ang binigay sa atin ng Panginoon, herald the gospel, kasi kasama sila eh. Jews and Gentiles. Ang gospel ang pinaka, and I like to borrow this term, shareable na message. Dahil sineshare natin, ang sineshare nating message is an all-inclusive, all-embracing, all-accepting message that appeals to all genders, all cultures, the people from all walks of life. It appeals to all because all have sinned. The gospel satisfies all who come to Him and believe in Him by faith in Jesus Christ. Dito sa Crossroads, bagamat tayo po lahat ay Pinoy, we still have a diverse congregation. Maniwala kayo, hindi. We came from diverse regions sa Pilipinas, diverse dialects, diverse age groups, diverse family backgrounds, diverse professions. And with such diversity, napakahalaga po that we keep the gospel at the center and forefront ng ating iglesia. Para hindi po personal preference ang nagpapatakbo ng isang church. Sabi nga ni D.A. Carson, "The gospel must transcend our personal taste in music, food, clothing style, economic status, intellectual interest. We as a church must continually be shaped by the gospel by regular meditation on it and careful application of it." Ito po ang dahilan kung bakit tayo may community groups. We gather sa ating community groups in order to study God's Word and together apply it sa ating lives at sa buhay nating church. That's why we must not neglect to gather together every week, every Sunday dito. Seek to apply the truths of God's Word to one another. Kasi sa Hebrews 10:24-25, yung lugar na binanggit ni Paul doon where people edify and encourage one another is in the gathering. Through the hearing of God's Word, through the preaching and counsel. So walang kagad aalis, ha? Kasi this is your opportunity. Your opportunity to speak truth. Your opportunity to show love, to give love, to grant grace. Now, dahil, and I know what you're thinking, dahil Pinoy din ako, dahil sa sinabi ko ngayon, magkakahiyaan ngayon kung sino lalabas sa pintuan na yan. Huwag yun na maging motibo natin dahil sa kahiyaan. Nakakahiyaan ako, sabihin ni Pastor, ah dito, may daan pa rin, may nakita ako sister na lumabas nung kanina. Ay, hindi po. Huwag po. So far sa passage na inaral natin, we see that salvation is by grace alone, in Christ alone, through faith alone, at lahat ng ito ay based on Scripture alone. And now we see the ultimate motivation and intent sa ating gospel message is for what? The glory of God alone. For the glory of God alone. See that verse 25 and then verse 27. So ang tanong natin, how can God remain true to Himself and not condemn a sinner? Paano na justify or na save or napatawad ang mga Old Testament saints? Di ba yun yung tanong? Last week, ginamit natin si David at ang na-commit niyang kasalanan na alam natin against Bathsheba. It's in 2 Samuel chapter 11. We know that he has committed adultery, murder, nagsinungaling at tinago ang kanyang kasalanan. And alam din natin sa Psalm 51, he confessed his sin and repented. So, ang tanong, how can God pass over yung sin ni David? How can God pass over yung sin ni Moses? How can God pass over yung sin ni Abraham and Old Testament saints? Kung wala pa si Christ noong time na yon. Ang sagot, or hindi pa nag-i-incarnate, ang sagot, because of the cross of Christ then. David sins, Abraham sins, Moses sins, Jacob sins, are judged at the cross of Christ. Ang mga Old Testament saints ay nakarating sa heaven with God on the basis of that future judgment kay Christ. They look forward to that promise. Whereas now we look back on the cross. Either God judged their sins in Jesus to those who received, or God judged them to hell for those who rejected Christ and refused to believe. The cross of Christ is the public demonstration of God's justice for His judging righteousness. The cross is not only about the justification of man, but also about the vindication of God. God gets the glory in salvation. Kaya wala ho tayong kaya pag malaki na tayo ay naligtas. Kasi hindi natin kayang sunurin ng law. We fail. Salvation, God gets the glory. Kaya mga kaibigan, ang marka ng isang tunay na naligtas ng Panginoon with all of this blessing is a person who always gives praises to God in salvation and in all things. Gaya ng ginawa natin kanina. Ang isa pang marka ng isang tunay na pinatawad at iniligtas ng Panginoon is when the person is humbly grateful. Knowing that you deserve worse, pinalaya, pinatawad, nireconcile, deserving worse, you receive mercy. Verses 28 to 31, since lahat ng mga Jews and Gentiles are made right with God through faith in Jesus Christ and are united to each other, this truth also unites us dito sa crossroads, despite of all our diversity. The gospel should change the way we view and treat each other dito sa crossroads. We should become more loving, more forgiving, more gracious, more caring, more welcoming, more truthful, hindi fake, and more intentional.
And we would love to see that even after the service. Even mamaya sa 3:30. Kung makakarating kayo ng 3:30. Sana makarating kayo ng 3:30. Okay lang kahit late. When our relationship changed vertically, it should also change horizontally. Salvation is grace alone, in Christ alone, through faith alone, based on Scripture alone, for the glory of God alone. Sola gratia, solus Christus, sola fide, sola scriptura, soli Deo gloria. That's how we are made right with God. Paul not only explained this theological truth faithfully, but he also gave an example, which is number two and last. And I'll go real quick dito. Made right with God. Chapter 4, verse 1 to 25. Para mas malinaw sa mga readers ang kanyang tinuro about justification through faith in Christ, Paul chose an Old Testament character dito na paborito nila. Paborito nila at madalas nilang ipagmalaki. And which is si Abraham. Meron silang paniniwala na dahil forefather nila si Abraham ay exempted na sila sa judgment ng Panginoon. So, chapter 4 is dedicated sa pagpapaliwanag na si Abraham was justified hindi dahil sa works of the law at hindi sa circumcision but by his trusting belief in Yahweh. Which we see in Genesis chapter 15 where he believed God and it was counted to him as righteous. God justified Abraham as a gift to him tulad nga ng sinabi ni Paul as he quotes Psalm 32 na binasa sa atin ni Kuya Jack kanina, na those whose sins the Lord forgive are blessed. Clearly, they did not earn forgiveness. It was gifted to them by grace. So God declared si Abraham righteous for his faith bago pa si Abraham na circumcised. Ang circumcision is a sign that he has faith in God, kaya ito din ang naging sign ng Israel. So Abraham also became a spiritual father, hindi lamang sa mga Jews na sumampalataya kay Kristo, kung hindi kasama na din ang mga hindi circumcised na Gentiles na sumampalataya kay Kristo. He is the father of all believers, or those who believe in Christ, father of faith. At ang pangako ng Panginoon kay Abraham na ibibigay ang whole earth sa kanya at sa kanyang mga tagapagmana was not claimed by obeying the law. Kasi we all know papalpak lahat or pumalpak sa law. It is claimed by faith or received by faith ng kanyang offspring. So with that quick overview ng chapter 4, what does this tell us, mga kapatid sa Panginoon? As I am addressing, mga kapatid sa Panginoon. If you are saying to us this morning, meron kang direct ethnic line kay Abraham at ninuno mo siya, hindi siya sapat para maligtas ka sa kasalanan mo. Kahit sabi mong kalahi mo, great-great-grandfather mo si Abraham. The same thing na kung sasabi mo ang tatay mo ay isang bishop, ang uncle mo ay isang pare, ang imam ay mismo kapatid mo, o ang pastor mo ay kamag-anak mo. It does not matter. Bali, wala po yun. The same thing po, paglapit natin sa mga patron natin, o sa mga santo, or patron saint, o kay Mary. Bali, wala po ito. Because sabi sa 1 Timothy verse 2 verse 5, there is only one mediator between God and man, and that is Christ Jesus our Lord. Hindi mga santo, hindi mga patron, hindi si Maria, si Kristo lamang. This means that no one is saved or justified by performing religious rituals, gaya ng circumcision. Hindi tayo maliligtas lang dahil tayo ay laging nasa church, or member ng isang church, or bahagi ng isang malaking ministry, or nagpa-baptize ng ilang beses sa iba-ibang churches. As mentioned last week, all of these are good things, pero they are not enough to save. Don't bank on these.
This also tells us that no one is justified by obeying the commands of the Lord dahil wala ni isang kaya tumapad nito perfectly.
So friends, this means there is no other way for a person to make it right with God except by believing in the person and work of Jesus Christ. I urge you, friends, I don't know your religious persuasion or backgrounds, hearing this compelling gospel that can save you, that leads you to salvation, I urge you to repent from relying on your religion. Repent from your religious beliefs and practices and place your faith in Christ's finished work on the cross for salvation, for justification. Chapter 4 ends with verses 20 and 25, which tells us that Abraham's faith is held up bilang model para sa atin ngayon. Nung sinabi ng Diyos na magkakaanak siya na lalaki, you know what? Abraham remained faithful. Nakarating na po siya sa edad na 100 at ang asawa niya, 90. Wala pa yung pangako. Sabi sa Romans 4:20-22, no unbelief made him waver concerning the promise of God, but he grew strong in his faith as he gave glory to God, fully convinced that God was able to do what he had promised. That is why his faith was counted to him as righteous. Ilang dekada na wala pa rin yung anak pero hindi nag-waver ang kanyang pananampalataya. Abraham's faith serves as a model para sa atin ngayong umaga. Abraham believed the Lord despite the fact that humanly speaking, napaka-imposible na po nila magkaanak. Baog ho si Sarah, surpass yung age po ng na pwede siyang magbigay ng buhay sa kanyang sinapupunan. And Abraham, di ko alam ang issues niya, health issues niya. Pero matanda na, wala na. Pero hindi nauga ang kanilang pananampalataya. Ano ang naging dahilan sa kanyang unwavering, persevering faith? Well, una, his faith was informed by God's promise. His faith was informed by God's word. It was not a blind faith. So mga kapatid, the Christian faith is not a blind faith. It is an informed faith. It's not a faith na sasabihin mo kung ano lang yung gusto mo. So I urge you, strengthen your faith by devouring God's word. Second, he made a rational decision to believe the omnipotent sovereign God who knows what he is doing kahit alam niya na hindi pa dumarating yung pangako. Hindi ito nangangahulugan na hindi siya nagkaroon ng doubts at disbelief sa kanyang faith, but his faith persevered and became stronger towards the end. Kasama siya nga sa Hall of Faith sa Hebrews chapter 11. You can read that sa inyong devotional. Pero here's the application, mga kaibigan. Ito ang marka ng justifying faith. If you claim that you've been justified through faith in Jesus Christ, ito'y marka nun, perseverance. Ang faith that justifies is not a faith that will never face doubts. It will face doubts pagdating ng challenges. Pero it's a faith that will persevere. We know the story of Ate Jovi. Ilang buwan na po sa ospital. Months, she is a picture para sa atin of a person of persevering faith. Friends, justifying faith is a persevering faith. Ito ang faith that will endure to the end. Ito rin ang pwedeng magsabi sa atin kung talaga bang may pananampalataya ka kay Kristo. Patuloy natin ipanalangin that God would strengthen our faith. I don't know what you're going through right now. Is your faith being challenged? Do you feel that parang binaligtad ka at inuuga lahat yung mga faith para mawala lahat? Do you feel that you're being tested? You feel that you're being provoked even to not believe? Friends, pray. Patuloy natin palang that God would strengthen our faith. That would cause us to keep believing in His Son daily and the promises till Jesus returns.
There's no other way to make it right with God except by faith in Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the greater sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Much greater than bulls, much greater than goats, a lot greater than lambs. Because Jesus' sacrifice is offered once for all on behalf of his people. May, Lord, we hold to this truth with much joy that would cause us to be humbly grateful and to increasingly live our lives na mabibigyan po namin kayo ng kaluguran for Jesus' sake. May you also grant us, Lord, persevering faith, especially those brothers and sisters who are weak right now. May you strengthen their faith until we see Jesus face to face, and that we would long to hear him say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." May you receive all the glory and praises in salvation, sa aming kaligtasan, pati sa Christian life na binubuhay namin. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.